One. Hi, Logan.
Hi, Kim.
Oh, it feels like it's been far, far too long because it kind of has, but we get busy lives, and so sometimes during summer, especially during hiatus, we kind of got to shift things around a little bit. And so,
Yep.
we got to work with our schedules here and there.
Yeah, we had like a, we couldn't quite. Last weekend would have been our weekend to record, then you would have had an episode this past Thursday, but didn't really work out. There was a lot going on. So we couldn't really record. But good news is you're still going to get an episode just a week later.
And I mean, it's we're still in hiatus, and I unfortunately don't know and don't know and don't think the hiatus will be ending anytime soon, because of the writers' ongoing writer strike. So
Which let's go ahead and because that seems to be just we don't have any news, so this is what we talk about in lieu of news. The writers are still on strike. That has not changed. AMPTP is not back to the table with them because they're still at the table with SAG-AFTRA. So I don't know if you saw. All right. So the drama with SAG, this is how it started. Fran Drescher. And the I forget his name. The two, her and another guy, are basically the people in charge of negotiations. Like they're the ones at the table because she's the president of SAG-AFTRA. They released a video, which was weird in the middle of a blackout because they're supposed to be in a media blackout. But SAG-AFTRA released a video of them basically just saying, we're at the table fighting for you and what you want and. It kind of just sounded to me like they were reassuring people that, like, hey, we're still working on a deal and we are listening to what you want. But they kind of made it sound like they were close to a deal, and that really weirded a lot of people out because they were like, how can you be close to a deal? That doesn't make sense. Because the issues that you want to talk about are the things they wouldn't talk to the writers about. So that just feels a little weird. And a lot of people, a lot of big actors got mad because they felt like they were giving in too easy. If there was a deal, they didn't want the deal. They wanted to make sure they got what they're asked, what they've been asking for. So a lot of A-list celebrities signed this letter to SAG-AFTRA telling them to not accept a mediocre deal, that they needed to make sure they bargained hard for the things that they wanted. And it started with 300 signatures, which included Jennifer Lawrence and Meryl Streep, just
Was
to
that
name a few.
Quinta Brunson, holes, like slew of them.
There was, but it was 300 at first. And then it grew to 1,000 names, one of which was Fran Drescher. And then, so that was funny. That was like a whole 2 days of jokes where people were joking about Fran writing a letter to herself. But it turns out that that may have been a prank. So she may not have actually signed it. Somebody may have just signed her name just to be funny. I don't know. Either way. Anyway, that letter getting up to 1,000 signatures, people think, spurned them on to extend negotiations. So negotiations should have ended June 30th. And if a deal wasn't reached by June 30th, then the strike would have started. However, they announced that they are extending negotiations until July 12th. So if there's no deal by July 12th, then the strike will begin. Now, an extension isn't weird for SAG. Like they normally, because they come down to the wire most of the time, so they'll extend by 2 or 3 days typically.
This is like two weeks.
It's a lot, yeah. But then somebody else pointed out that if you look at business days, because of how it's falling with the fourth, it's actually 6 additional days
So yeah,
because
so not
they're not going back to the table, before the fifth. That's
absolutely
just not going to
not.
happen. So if you look at it that way, it's 6 business days. Because they also, I don't think they negotiate on the weekends. Because they don't, picket on the weekends, so I can't imagine they would be negotiating on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it's really just like 6 business days, but that is a much longer extension than they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are very wary about that. They're afraid that, like the DGA, SAG's going to announce a deal that's quote unquote historic, but not actually historic. Mm-hmm. And then some people have the opposite opinion and think that this is a good sign because it means that negotiations aren't going as well as they tried to make it out to be. So no, but nobody really knows anything because there's, again, a media blackout. So they can't really say anything about how it's going. The writers that I've started following on Twitter that I've been paying attention to were saying that the pickets, the last couple of days they picketed, because they're not picketing now because it's a long weekend. Mm-hmm. They never picket on the weekends, but they won't be picketing tomorrow or Tuesday, I don't think. But the last couple of days they were picketing before the holiday weekend, the picket lines were like 3/4 actors.
Good.
Yeah, so it seems, and somebody tweeted that all of them are angry. Like, absolutely all of them are really wanting to strike.
Good. Well, because I know what's not helping either is more of these streamers and sites is they're barely giving new shows that brought in new actors, writers, crews of everything. They're canceling these shows after one season, not even giving them a chance. And worst part is for tax write-off purposes, these stupid streamers are taking the shows then off the platforms, which is just like, it's insane.
There's been instances this TV season where they've canceled a show while they're still filming it. Even.
Yeah.
Like that's happened a couple of times.
Yeah.
Recently, which is just bizarre. And they'll just write it off, even though they filmed like 3 or 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, whatever. That's weird to me.
It's such bullshit.
Yeah. They're doing a lot of weird things. Mm-hmm. But I think most of the actors that are angry and really pushing for a strike are like the, I don't know what they call them. I guess like the gigging actors, the ones that aren't the big name actors, the, I don't want to say blue collar, but it's sort of like that hierarchy sense, like the guys that are lower on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm. Supporting actors?
Well, supporting is like the role that you get, but they have a different name for for the group of them, like within the industry. And I can't remember what it is right now, but I think it's mostly them and then some A-listers as well. Like, I've seen Dermot Mulroney several times all over his social media, like, no, we need to strike. We need to strike now. And he walked off of The View. Like, he was there and he promoted his show because he's contractually obligated and the strike hasn't started yet. So he has to promote whatever he's in, which I think is Secret Invasion right now. But before they closed out the show, he actually walked off.
Good for him.
He was like, in support of the writers who are on strike right now, I'm getting out of here. He was very polite about it, but he was like, bye.
And that's where it's like, because you gotta love a good actor who supports the writers like that. Like, you know, the actors are gonna do what they're gonna do, but it's nice to see solidarity.
For sure. And I think that's been the different thing with the way this is going down is that there is a lot of solidarity between the writers and the actors. And I have seen a lot of the writers on Twitter being like, so with these negotiation extensions, what we're hearing is there's people that could come down and picket with us next week. So, hey, SAG-AFTRA, come and picket with us. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
No.
Siri just randomly decided to talk to me.
No, I'm telling you. Our mics are too good, Logan, that they don't pick up any weird outside noises.
Siri was just randomly like, I couldn't find that in your Apple Music.
Okay, Siri.
I asked you to search my Apple Music.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that was weird.
Okay,
But yeah.
now my phone picked up you saying, okay, we're not gonna say the S word any other time.
That's so funny. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not much news regarding the strike except for the SAG-AFTRA stuff right now, and that's all up in the air. Nobody knows how it's gonna go. I think people thought that a strike was definitely happening before that video was posted. But I think that video sort of had everybody like, oh no, no, no. What does that mean? And I get it because I watched it too and I was like, this is weird. Why would they do this?
Well, it's as much as I love the nanny, I still am not always 100% behind or get what Fran Drescher does as the SAG-AFTRA president, but
Yeah, I think before the writer's strike, she had said something that got her in trouble
she's been
about
saying some stuff for a little bit,
it.
though.
Well, yeah, but it was literally right before she had said something about residuals, writers and residuals that implied like they didn't deserve an increase or something. Made a lot of people mad. But then
Oh,
like a
Fran.
couple of weeks, yeah, but then like a couple of weeks later, she was visiting the picket lines and like vocally being supportive
Yeah,
of the
it's
writer's strike.
I'm just like, don't make anything more confusing than you need
Yeah.
it to be.
I
Don't.
don't so I don't know about her. But
Yeah.
I don't think an extension is necessarily a bad sign because they've done those before. This one is a little longer, but if you think about the timing with
I think
Independence Day,
it's a weird holiday timing.
yeah, I think so too. And you know, if they're not as close as they want everybody to think, then you're going to need more than a couple of days. Because typically, when they do extensions by a couple of days, it's like they're on the verge of a deal. They need to hammer out some more things, so they need a little more time.
But not like a 6-day
No,
extension.
not like 6 days. Six business days is a lot of business days.
Yes.
So
That's like
that's
1 week
not
and 1 day of an extra
normal.
business
Yeah,
day of business
right.
days. So,
That's not normal.
no.
So I don't know if that means they're close or they're far apart, but I'd imagine they're not as close as the AMPT would like AMPTP would like them to be. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. We'll know by July 12th whether or not we're getting a two guild strike.
Also, I want to just mention here before we forget at the end is Logan, you've been doing an awesome job sharing those links every so often on our Instagram for
Oh, thank you.
writers of resources. So if
Yep.
you can go check out our Instagram story, like Instagram stories, because I know you've been posting that every so often. So.
Also, one of the Fire Country writers, and let me find her name because I want to give her flowers. And I want to make sure that I say her name properly. Where is it? Where's Twitter? Where are
Okay, well, good luck with
you at?
Twitter.
I know, right? The cap on posts. What the heck?
Yeah, so
That's a
hopefully
dumb thing.
we'll see where we are friends in a couple months if I'll still be tweeting on when the episode airs on Twitter. So.
Oh, well, that's old news, but it just popped up on my Twitter TL. Apparently, Max Tyriot is going to be on CBS's Secret Celebrity Renovation this summer.
Oh.
That was just like the first thing on the TL when I pulled it up. Okay, so the Fire Country writer that is. Oh, come on. All right, maybe I follow her on Instagram. Her first name is Joelle, and I'm trying to find her last name. So she posts a lot about the writer's strike, and she's a strike captain.
Nice, nice.
As well. So she's also behind the Green Grocery Fund, which is this her? Yep. Joelle Garfinkel. She's a writer and a script coordinator, and I'm pretty sure she worked on Fire Country. But yeah, so she's yep, she did. There it is. She wrote. Like the episode here that she has that she wrote is Watch Your Step. So 119. She probably contributed more than that because they have a room. But anyway, she's behind the Green Grocery Initiative that I've talked about previously. I think it's called Green Envelope Grocery Aid. And she posts the Venmo QR a lot.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So if you're interested, you can follow her. I believe she is on Twitter. I just couldn't find her profile. Her Instagram is very active. I think her Twitter is pretty active too, but go look for her, follow her. She's very helpful, puts a lot of information out there. And she's from Fire Country, so you're also supporting the show. Yeah. But it's like we talked about last time. It is really nice to like see all of these writers just giving it their all, you know. They're out there having fun, but they're also working very hard and taking this very seriously. And I've seen a couple of criticisms lately about how they're just going out there and having fun. Well, like, no, but if they're going to be out there, they should be allowed to have some joy.
Yeah. like if you're going to be standing outside all day, let people have their fun. You don't get to judge them for how they're out there doing what they need to do.
Exactly. So Joelle Garfinkel, go look her up, follow her. She's doing some great things. Anybody, if you see anybody that says they're a strike captain, go ahead and follow them, because every strike captain that I have followed is like plentiful of information. I mean, they're so informed and willing to answer questions and talk about it and what everything means and break it down. So look up those WGA strike captains if you want to know more strike information and what everything means and why it's happening. Yeah, I was going to mention one more thing. What was I going to say? I forgot. Oh, well. But yeah, so I guess that's all the strike news we have. Next time we record, we might have a little more. I don't know. Depends on what happens. So far, it's just waiting for the actors to either go on strike or make a deal. I will say, after, even if SAG makes a deal, it still has to be ratified by SAG membership. And from what I've seen, there are a lot of people who would vote no.
Yeah, so it ain't over until it's over.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they make a deal, it depends on what's in the deal. People have to see it and they have to read it and they have to know what it means and vote on it. So just because they make a deal doesn't mean a strike won't happen.
Correct.
Yeah. Man, this has been an eventful hiatus. And it's never ending.
No.
So far. But
I feel like we do need to give some praise and some applause to Gina, because after our bullying, she went and watched, I think, the entire first season of Fire Country.
Yep.
Over the course of like a week, I think.
She was like watching it nonstop and texting us.
So we just, Gina deserves some praise, because, you know, we know some of our other friends we've called out. They're trying to, but, you know, we give Gina credit, because she did not have to go that hard to finish it that quickly, but she did.
No. She like knocked it out and her commentary was so funny. We enjoyed it a lot. So you guys can stop bullying her now, at least about Fire Country. I know some people are probably still bullying her about Timeless, but you don't have to bully her about Fire Country anymore. So that did happen, and also we have issued an open invitation to her to come on the pod. Since we've had Bryna on, we do, you know, need to have Gina on and let her talk some Fire Country. That probably will happen sometime. Don't know when. And then also sometime, I feel like we can say this. I think they'll be okay with it. Heather and Helen of the Back in the Lifeboat podcast. It's like a Timeless Rewatch podcast. They have invited us to be on their show to discuss an episode of Timeless, and I'm very excited about it. It's gonna be hard, because I don't know if you've listened to their, I mean, it's really interesting, because Heather's never seen the show, And so the funniest part of it for me is listening to Helen like work very hard to not give anything away.
Yeah.
Because they're like really going hard on the no spoiler thing for her. Yeah. So there'll be moments where Heather will say something and then she'll say, like, you guys can't see Helen, but she's trying really hard not to make a certain face right now. So I imagine for us, whatever episode we talk about, that's going to be the same thing. We're going to be like, oh, crap.
Okay, then I plan on rewatching it anyways, but I'm just going to have to separate.
Just pretend you don't know anything that happens after that.
Yeah, that's going to... I might need your help with that.
I know, it's going to be hard. I've been thinking about it like, oh,
really
man.
Hard.
It's going to be difficult. Because you know how I am when I get on a roll about Wyatt Logan. It just, like, it doesn't stop.
Yeah. Well, and just in general of, like... knowing how everything ends, I'm like, yeah, it's like, okay, like you can go through some of these episodes and be like, okay, I at least know how it ends and whatnot and good and all that.
Right.
So, okay,
yeah, so that'll be interesting. They also do a pretty cool, like, they call it a history minute, but it's usually more than a minute, relating to like the real events of the episode and how they happened in real life. And there were some really bizarre things they talked about in the Lincoln episode that I was like, I did not know any of this. And it's very intriguing. So yeah, it's called Back in the Lifeboat. If you're a Timeless fan, I highly recommend it. I think they've done two episodes. And Helen live tweets on their social media the episode they're going to talk about, I think, the Saturday before their episode comes out. So if you follow them on Twitter, too, you could see some live tweets. I think that's fun. And she always announces when she's going to watch it. So if you guys wanted to, like, live tweet with her, I'm sure she would love that. But yeah, they're Back in the Lifeboat. Search for it wherever you listen. I've enjoyed it. I've listened to their two episodes and it's been pretty fun. So anyway, wanted to give them a shout because they've invited us on and I'm very excited about it. I love talking about Timeless.
I mean, as so evidenced by how long we did such a long episode.
Oh my gosh, we did it was
Bryna. It was yeah, we yes. did it with Bryna.
And
it
was that's like
yeah.
I was gonna say that's one of my favorite episodes of ours that we've ever done. Is that one. I love it so much. Yeah, that was a fun one. That was a good because that was when we were in our transition period from like One Chicago to Fire Country and trying to figure out how that would go.
Well, and we just needed something happy. So
we did, and that is Timeless.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So anyway, that's also gonna happen at some point. And I think we should figure out how to have them on too. I think that would be fun. But we'll have to talk about that. And figure that out. So anyway, now for our topic of the episode. I forgot to announce this on social media to invite people to send us emails. I've had a week, y'all.
We've still got plenty of hiatus episodes to have fun with.
It's true.
Comments.
It's true. But viewer? You know,
I said viewer comments, listener comments, not viewer. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, I got you. I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a line in Ghostbusters. There's a line in Ghostbusters that's like, listen, you smell that? And it's so quick. And it makes me laugh because it's two different things. Listen, you smell that? Anyway, it's off topic. Yeah, so... we did have one article about Fire Country that came out recently. And it was CBS basically making their presentation to advertisers and saying that they know that they do want to do a Fire Country spinoff. It's not going to be anytime soon because they want to get through the writer's strike before they really start figuring out how to approach it. But it sounds like it's pretty much guaranteed to happen eventually. So we thought it would be fun if we talked about what a Fire Country spinoff could look like. So we're going to do this in like two parts. First part, we're just going to go wild with like what we wish, what if we could have anything, what we would want it to be. And then we're going to get a little more down to earth with it. and be a little more plausible with network television, you know, what would be feasible. So, let's go ahead and kick this off. What, like, Kim, if you were going to get right now, if CBS went to you and was like, what should our Fire Country spinoff be? You get to decide. What would you want to see?
I think I'd prefer me. I want it to be a little bit more like the 911 universe, mm-hmm. where it's not necessary. It's unfortunate, like compared to like Grey's Anatomy, where you have like Station 19, Grey's Anatomy, all in the same area. I want this to be like a whole other city. Like I want it to be different. I want it to be its own thing because it's like I want it to enjoy it. And I don't know. I kind of the first thing thought, and I was just we were just like you're setting it up. I kind of would like Montana. I don't know why.
Ooh.
Like I don't know. It just kind of feels like cool. I would enjoy it. Like I don't know because nobody does shows for, like in Montana necessarily. Like
yeah, and Montana is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So that that would be really neat.
Yeah.
They could do like another small town in yeah. Montana.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Cause it's like it really very cool. Like woodsy, but it's a different kind of woodsy than obviously yeah. California well, woodsy.
And there's, I mean, Montana has a lot more like big sky,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Like big open sky. So I think that would be
mm-hmm.
really cool.
Yeah. So that's at least just like that first little thought of like, you know, I that's how I want it. Cause even like, you know, the 911 universe of shows, they have their crossovers, which I can appreciate, but I like that it's still their own thing. They're in their own cities doing their own things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. For me, if they were like, you get to decide
mm-hmm.
what is this show?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter. There was nothing else I had to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
What would I want to see? Right now, for some reason, in my brain is like Cal Fire Sacramento, because that's where the headquarters are.
Okay.
For some reason, mm-hmm. that just seems like that would be, because okay. I don't, this is my thing with a spinoff. I don't want it to be like too similar to the original.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also would like, and I don't think there's no show set in Sacramento. Like what happens in Sacramento? Why is the headquarters in Sacramento? Is that like a state capital mm-hmm. or something? I don't know anything about California, so I can't tell you. other than Anaheim is where Disneyland is. That's mm-hmm. pretty much all I got. But yeah, I feel like that would be really neat just to see how headquarters works, like the different departments that are there, like how does that function?
Mm-hmm.
Also to me the politics of like headquarters and officers
mm-hmm.
would be interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like I think about like Blue Bloods, if you've watched mm-hmm. Blue Bloods. They every now and then when they've got storylines with Frank, there's like drama within one PP
mm-hmm.
where all the officers are. Be kind of like that, I think. I think that would be neat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's not something we see a lot on firefighter shows, is like the higher ups. So I think mm-hmm. that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a firehouse there too, but like,
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really interesting to see inside of
mm-hmm.
headquarters with all the big officers, like the deputy directors and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. That'd be neat. Yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind
mm-hmm.
for me. But I also would like a Edgewater Med or something, or
oh,
Edgewater
yeah.
PD.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Especially PD, because we haven't really seen the cops. And uh-huh. I think it would be interesting if they did that and they played with the whole, like, because on Blue Bloods, there's this grudge between the firefighters and the cops. And mm-hmm. I think it'd be interesting if they would do that and have like an Edgewater
yeah.
PD, except instead of like One Chicago where everybody gets along and they're happy to work
yeah.
together, it's like there's a grudge. I think that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that too. It's just like I said, the first thing that came to mind was like kind of like the 911 universe of it, which I enjoy. But also, I mean, clearly, since we've both originally came from our love of One Chicago, which that's the established kind of formula for that universe, is it's a formula that works. I like
yeah.
it. And I'm, you know, we've talked quite a bit extensively of like Edgewater Med because it clearly is needed.
Well, and also, I mean, it would be cool because we already have two characters that we know would work in an like a hospital. Like, I think Lily is a doctor, but she works, she doesn't work in Edgewater. She works elsewhere. But it would be neat if, like, for some reason she transferred to Edgewater and, like, worked there. And then also we know that, you know, we've got Kara, who's an ER nurse. So we already have two characters that could be, like, regulars on Edgewater Med. So that would be kind of cool. I do think that would be fun, too. Again, though, it would still be different from the one Chicago's because it's a small town. And I do think they could do, it would be fun if, like, the Edgewater PD had more of, like, I don't want it to be a sitcom. It's obviously a drama. But if it had more of, like, a comedy spin to it, because in a small town, you always have the stupid stuff that happens. Like, the land disputes, you know, your yard and my yard and, like, all that stupid stuff. And, like, the kids that just goof around in people's yards, make the neighbors mad, you know. It would be kind of fun to see those small town things. Like, when you think about movies like Jaws or, like, Stranger Things, where it starts out with those small town sheriffs who say that normally all I have to deal with is, like, an owl thinking that somebody's wig is an animal or something. Or, like, you know, they have, like, these weird off-the-wall small town stories. I think if you did like an Edgewater PD, that would be fun.
Because I feel like for Edgewater PD, it could be interesting because you have your local police, but then the corrections officers. But even I also wonder if animal control a little bit in there too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could also, does California, see, okay. Police in different states work different ways. California has state troopers, right?
I think. I mean, we can make up our own rules for
this. Well, no, I was just thinking, because the interesting dichotomy, at least where I live, is like the county sheriffs and the state troopers and how those two work together, because they're very different. Like, every state trooper I've ever met is, like, stern. There is no personality there. Yeah. And it's very much intentional because they're state troopers. But then you have our sheriffs who, I don't know, they'll would have been the few times that I've gotten a ticket. It hasn't been, like, a total serious affair with, like, a deputy instead of a state trooper. I just think that would be interesting to have those dynamics, because they don't really get into that on the other police procedurals of, like, the difference between state trooper and sheriff deputies and all that stuff. So I think if they could do that, that would be neat. Especially in a small town.
Oh, yeah.
I just think a police show in a small town would be a lot of fun to watch, because it would be so different.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm still trying to think off the top of my head of, like, I mean, even same thing, like, with Med, of, like, that's probably one of my favorite things of TikTok as of late, is getting all of these, like, TikTok videos of these hilarious, like, doctors and nurses of, like, rural medicine. And, like, oh, it gets real funny real fast when it comes to farmers needing to come in for things getting done and whatnot. So, yeah, I can imagine, too, of, like, not only the PD part, but Med part being very entertaining with it being a small town.
I think the small town just opens up so much potential for just being different and maybe a little lighter. But I do think, I mean, even with it being a small town, if you think about this past season, Edgewater PD would still have a lot to do. I mean, there was a biker gang. There was
an arsonist.
There was an arsonist. There was, like, I was just like, there's been crazy stuff. There was drug deals going down at Three Rock. There's like all kinds of stuff happening. Like, they have work to do. But then also, most of the time, it's probably inconsequential, stupid stuff. I think it'd be a good mix. It'd be fun. It wouldn't be quite so doom and gloom like PD is, like Chicago PD. And then I do think also, to your point, like, an Edgewater Med would definitely, yeah, it would have to include more, like, of the farming community. Which I think that would be interesting. Yeah. But then there's also, like, if you wanted to, instead of including, like, paramedics and ambulance service in with Fire Country proper, You could slide those into mid.
No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah. So I think there's potential to do that. But then I think what CBS specifically talked about was like another city, like another small town within California. So instead of like, technically, it would be more like a Cal Fire spinoff than a Fire Country spinoff. But I'm sure they do like NCIS and call it like Fire Country, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's the potential for that too, which they have talked about neighboring counties and neighboring towns. Yeah. Like Drake County, I think, is like the neighboring county, right? That's the one that they mentioned.
Yeah.
There's also like that brigade of guys that they had on that were so hardcore. They could do a show about them.
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely.
I feel like if it was the brigade one, it would get dark so much quicker and faster.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be a serious show. That was like my friend Helen and I were talking about it. And she was like, I would like to watch one about like a squad team. And I'm like, that would be those guys. That would be those guys. That would definitely be like way more dramatic. And the situations would be way more dire. Yeah, that'd be like, I've been watching a lot of Criminal Minds, so forgive me. That's like Criminal Minds suspect behavior. They were called a red cell and they were like really mobile. So they would be called in when they needed them to act fast. It'd be like that. They'd be Fire Country red cell. So there's that one. I don't know. I'm trying to think like, what would be a really off the wall one? Like, they would never do it, but it would be fun.
I kind of still think it would be cool to like a Washington DC one.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like off the wall, like they wouldn't do it, but I don't know. I don't know.
I wish, you know what? I think like if they could do a sitcom like set in Smokies, that would be fun.
Okay. No,
yeah, like a workplace sitcom.
Yeah, no. Excuse me. I appreciate where you're bringing this, because I was still just going for like weird scenarios like that I know they would never do. So like Washington DC, because I mean, also at a different direction, it would be like not sitcom, but you could also have like politics come into play, because it's like Washington DC isn't like its own like official city. So I wonder if they go through like hijinks of like trying to get like services. I don't know.
You know what's weird about Washington DC is that like their mayor has to submit his budget to Congress.
Yeah.
Which, that's just bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Anyway. But no, yeah, like weird off the wall, not like specific scenarios, but just like something that they would never do. But I feel like Amaya's work, like Amaya, casting Maya and doing like Smokies as like a workplace sitcom, that could be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, think about the stuff that's happened there. Like, and just like seeing everybody react to it, or like the drama going down around them, and they're like, man, this is like living in a soap opera. Like the jokes.
No, because it would just need to be like a half hour like sitcom kind of being like, and you just have like the people come in every so often of like from Fire Country and be like, oh, like oof. And but then like obviously something was going on at Maya's the whole time, but it's just like, so what did you deal with today? Well, you know,
you can have like confessionals.
Yeah
like The Office. But if you think about like everything they have to deal with while the town is in crisis every week.
Well, they also just had a guy die on their floor almost, basically,
right? But there was nobody there.
No.
Like, where were they? That would be a sitcom episode. Be like,
no.
They come back and there's like what happened? It's like that Community GIF where he comes back
fire.
In.
Yeah.
And everything is in chaos.
Like, I also feel like a good sitcom place for this, it would be like a local coffee shop too. Granted, I love Smokies, but it's like it's a restaurant, but like sometimes a coffee shop has kind of like that kind of going on. And so I feel like that could
Just
be
do
really.
like the Small Business Association in Edgewater. That would be funny.
Oh yeah, that would be really good because that's also like a big thing with the small towns is like all these little businesses. So it's like, ooh, that would be fun.
Do it a little bit of Parks and Rec too in there, you know, where they have like the town hall meetings. That would be fun. And then you could have them like having votes on like whatever, something that needs to happen for the dramatic episode or something. It'd be funny. Or them just complaining. Like, you know that scene in the Disney movie Hercules where all the citizens are standing around the well and they're talking about like floods and earthquakes and fires to each other? They're complaining. Imagine that, but Edgewater, small businesses.
Like it would be, because like you have, you're like, you have a dentist, you have a little doctor's office, you have a theater, and it's like, you can go to a hardware store. Like, I don't know. And then you have like Smokey. So it's like, I feel like
Yeah.
that's some prime, really entertaining kind of stuff right there.
That would be so fun. It'd be a little bit like Stars Hollow.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But
Feel
that's
a
what
little
makes
bit
it,
like that, yeah.
that's what makes it so interesting. Because with small towns, you have such a variety of characters. Because it's like, you could have, like, maybe it's, you would think the really gruff guy would, who seems all tough, but he runs the theater. And you know, like the I don't know, not like I'm
I
trying to
think
think.
what would be funny, because I grew up in a southern small town, would be a beauty salon, like a really like true small town beauty salon, where it's not like fancy big city, all the haircuts are sleek. This is like these stylists do the same haircuts on the same people every day. Nobody wants anything different. My mom is a hairstylist, and this happens to her. Well, she'll have a client come in and just want the exact same haircut they already have, or like they'll specifically request her to do something that she knows isn't going to look good, but like she can't tell them that. I would love to see a beauty salon in this like small town business association show. I think that would be fun. And we need, like, also on this hypothetical small town business association show, we need a group of little old gossipy ladies.
Oh yeah.
Like that scene in Smokey's where Sharon had to tell those ladies to like shut up. We need more of those ladies.
And just have them pop up of like, you know, if they're in the theater, have them take up a row like there, have them
Exactly.
getting their hair done, have them getting coffee, like
Just show them in different places, talking about the town. That's it. That's all you need to do. It'd be great. I think this is my favorite idea. This is my favorite idea they're never going to use.
No, but
Sitcom
it's
about the Small Business Association in Edgewater. Let's do it.
I agree. I think it's a wonderful idea.
It'd be fun. They're never going to do it, but it would be
No.
really fun. I do think, okay, let's talk realistically now. Thinking back on what we've seen of the show, I think probably what they're going for is another small town, but if we unpack what they've shown us, they've set up characters for like that special group. What was the name of that group from that episode?
I don't know off the top of my
I can't
head.
remember. They had a shamrock as their logo, didn't they? Whatever it was they were called. They've set up like the leader of that already. And you kind of already like him, you know, like you started out not liking him, but then by the end you were like, all right, maybe he's okay. They've already set that up, so very easily they could expand on that if they wanted to. Also, this could be interesting. Nozzle. Like the anti-fire country. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I just still wonder if some of it, like you said, I mean, we've gotten a lot of Luke, and I mean, we still get calls from
True.
headquarters. So, I mean,
Ooh, and he is trying to get funding for another inmate camp. So they could do that other a show about that other inmate camp. What does he call that? He had a name for it. Is it like Big River or something?
Yeah, it's something river, yeah.
something like that.
Red River? Big River?
Red River, baby. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, they have been talking about him setting up that other inmate camp.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be like whatever town that's next to.
Mm-hmm.
And like that camp. And then you'd have the added drama of it being new. Unlike Three Rock, which has been going for a while.
Yeah. And so I could see definitely establishing a brand new fire camp and the trials, because that would be some good drama for a city, like a town being like, granted, because it seems like Edgewater is pretty accepting of a lot of.
Well, yeah, but think about it. This would be a new thing.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Think
that would be really interesting as like a side plot, like the whole like politics of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of like whether or not people in the town would even want it there.
That's exactly what I mean, because like Edgewater seems, I mean, which is good, I would check, because I would be like fighting somebody if Edgewater wasn't so accepting, but it's just like, what do you do when a town doesn't want you to be there,
right? Well, like, also Edgewater's used to it, you know. Mm-hmm. There's like no point in them fighting it because it's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it works, but I could see somewhere new not quite wanting it, and then the plot of the overall season is like the fire camp having to prove itself to the town, and then instead of everybody being like a little community, you could have more people butt heads. That would have that drama built in, and then you could easily place Luke as like the guy in charge of all of it. And since they've set up the dad, and like Luke is lives closer to the dad, you could have the dad on the show for added family drama, since Luke's not married.
But maybe Luke finally gets a love interest.
Oh, he could have a love interest for sure.
That finally
oh, he
doesn't
would
hitting
totally.
On his sister-in-law. So
he would totally have a love interest if they did that. Do you think Truco would do that? Because I would love that.
I miss him on like normal TV. So I feel like for him, he needs somebody who's he's not like butts heads with. But like, I feel like he needs to have some fight with not
well,
like
somebody that'll tell him like it is.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, not necessarily try and provoke a fight or anything, but just like
you know
not
what I mean.
Let him. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Like not let him get away with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They would definitely give him a love interest if they went that way, though, for sure. Oh man, that would be so good. Then you could still have little cameos every now and then from like other people on the show. Especially if it's a new fire camp, I'd imagine they would like do things with Three Rock to like get the feel, or like Manny would visit to like help them, you know, decide how they're going to do things and organize.
And I just feel like it could be really entertaining of like him kind of coming, wanting to bring in fire camp, and like this woman that maybe he has a thing with in the future. She's like the mayor, or like, I don't know. She works like high up like that. I don't know. I just feel like that could be like good energy there.
Oh, that would be good. I would like that a lot. That would be fun. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I'm going to laugh if that's what it ends up being.
I mean, they would have to. One of the things that makes it different is the inmate firefighting element, right? Yeah. So I feel like they would have to, if they did another one,
it has to start fresh. Yeah.
Decorate another inmate camp.
Yeah. But it makes sense that it has to start fresh because it's so established in Edgewater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think you'd have to do from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you'd have to give the show something that's its own unique thing. Like when you talk about, like we brought up 911 and 911 Lone Star earlier, the southern edge is what's different for Lone Star. That's how they differentiated it. Is like, okay, this one is in the south. you know, and like, and the other universes where they're in the same place, it's been different focuses, like you said, with Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, One Chicago's, things like that. That's how they've differentiated. So they would have to sort of do that here, and doing a new camp would be different. Oh, I'm really attached to this idea now. I'm going to be bummed if that's not what they do.
How could they not, though? Because I feel like that's what sets up, because Luke has been a pretty integral part of a lot of this.
Oh, yeah, he was in a lot. He was in a lot more episodes than I expected when they announced that they cast him. Because I expected like maybe one or two.
No, he's been a lot.
Yeah.
And I could just see it. And I feel like that's the only way you could do a good spinoff that isn't just like copy paste. Like, because like, there's certain franchises that it kind of works in that way. But like, for knowing everything we've been through with Fire Country, you can't just spit that out, like copy and paste that. You can't, like, because that would be exhausting to be like exactly the same. So like, starting out fresh in a new city with a fire camp.
Well, yeah, you'd have to have like a fresh angle on it, you know, because even with this show, their fresh angle was small town.
Yeah.
Well, if you do another one of those, that's no longer the fresh angle. So you'd have to be like, all right, the drama of bringing an inmate fire camp to a town that doesn't want it. That's different. I like that. I like that a lot. Plus, we know that Michael as Luke can carry a plot. You know, like, that would work really well.
And I feel like a show for him, it'll finally give him some redemption chances. And
oh, for sure, because you'd see his point of view the whole time. Yeah, it would definitely be different. And plus, the crossovers would be super easy in that case. Like, they wouldn't have to go out of their way to do like a crossover. It'd be pretty easy.
So that's my hope, is with them of hopefully eventually actually doing this new show, like, it'll be a true crossover, not like, and I will call the Rookie and Rookie Feds out bullshit for them calling them crossovers. No, they do not know what the word crossover means. You have somebody come on for 2 minutes. That is not a crossover. That's an appearance.
One Chicago ruined that for us.
Yes.
Because they're not doing it so well anymore. Because of COVID, since COVID, they've switched back to that, like, this character appears on the show for a little bit. But before the pandemic, their crossovers, they would do like a 3-hour block where all three shows, it was like watching a movie.
Yeah.
And it was great because the shows were all mixed in within the hours. Oh man, that like Infection crossover that one Chicago did was so good. It's like cream of the crop.
I gotta rewatch that.
The apartment building one was good too, though. That was where like Halsted, Jay and Will's dad, was like in the building. It was his apartment building. And then that was where Joe met Chloe. You know, it was like, that one was pretty good too, but the Infection one, man, that's
still the top one. And I mean, there's still even the one where we know we got the start, like the idea for Chicago Med at the beginning with the bombing near the hospital.
Yes.
Like, I mean, like, the reason we still talk about these years later, because that's what a crossover should be. And it's so not to derail back from that.
No.
That's my hope, is CBS knows what the word crossover means,
and because they've started doing it with the FBIs.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that comes through into the Fire Country spinoff.
They sort of take the Dick Wolf model and apply it to Fire Country.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Yeah, because the FBIs did that, where it was like one continuous plot across all three shows. They did that just recently, which it's really frustrating that like Law and Order and FBI are back to doing those big crossover events and One Chicago isn't, when One Chicago was the originator of it. Like, why can't we have it back?
Give it back. I want it.
Especially now that we've got so many new characters, I want to see them all interact. Like,
it's like, I need to go and rewatch the Infection crossover, because that's just top tier. It was a three hour long movie on network television, basically.
But like, think about, oh god, this is making me kind of sad though.
I know.
Because the characters that were in that are not on the show anymore.
I know, but it was so good because we got to see everybody interact though, and that's what was so
wonderful.
That
opening outside the like the football
Soldier
stadium.
Field, yeah. Oh,
yes.
It was so good.
That was great. But yeah, I mean, if they could do crossovers more like One Chicago, less like The Rookie.
I don't even think it should qualify as being like The Rookie, because
no,
that is not a crossover.
They tease it as a crossover, and then it's like, Nolan or Lucy appears on screen for like 2 minutes and you're like, that's
yeah,
not what I came here for.
No, that look up the word crossover. That is not, that's an appearance. That's not a crossover. Yeah,
that's not why I'm here. Thanks.
sorry for that rant, but it's very much needed because it still frustrates me every time.
Yeah. Well, and NCIS recently did that kind of crossover too, not like where it was separate, but like where they did one plot across like several of the shows. So CBS does that with NCIS too. So it would make sense if they did that with Fire Country.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. But yeah, that's not going to happen anytime soon though. Cause if anything, it would be for next television season, not this coming one.
Boo. It's hard because I get so excited and then it's gonna be a
I want it
long
now.
Time.
I want it now. But yeah, I think what they said in the article was that once everybody's back, they would have to talk to Tia and Max about it and figure out like what they think would work best and what the network feels would work best and find something they all like. But I do think it is interesting that they've already sort of set up Luke building that new camp. Like, they've mentioned that several times.
But, I mean, they've also mentioned, like, the... Kara? Kara.
Kara.
I want to keep saying Kara. Kara stuff several times, and, like, they've had the little instances with Sharon mocking the response times the ambulance. So, there's a lot of ways I feel like it could definitely be going.
It's interesting. Man. Okay. So... of what we've discussed, the one that will never happen that I want to happen most is the sitcom about the Small Business Association in Edgewater. That just sounds like that would be a riot. And then the one that I think would be most likely to happen is the second prison camp that Luke's working on. Even if Luke doesn't stick with it to oversee it, the show's setting it up. They could have a whole slew of new characters. But most of the time, I feel like when they do crossovers, it's smart to have like one character you already know. I feel like that gives you a built-in audience. I don't know. Have to see what they would do with that. Oh, but I want that so bad now. That's going to be, like, in my head, like...
It's... Because I don't know if Michael Trucco is up for another series, but, like, I really want to see more of him. Like, I want to know more about Luke. Like, we've gotten some really good, interesting storylines from him, but I want to see him fleshed out, and I want him to get his own path that he's been looking for so long.
Maybe, I think what would be cool, at the very least, if he doesn't, you know, if they don't do a spinoff that's centered around him or whatever, maybe we could get a whole episode that's just Luke. You know, like a bottle episode, but Luke. I think that would be cool.
It sure be better than a Keen Brown focused episode that is all 2 minutes. But that's just me.
He was only in it for like 2 minutes, though. Like, it wasn't even... Kane Brown wasn't even really there.
No. I'm going to keep talking because I'm so bad. You don't make promos being like, Kane Brown, Kane Brown, and all of 3 minutes of Kane Brown on screen. So.
Poor Kane Brown.
He did good with what was given to him.
They really should have given him more to do. They should have written him an actual part. Like.
Oh. I still wonder if are we talking about what else are we talking? Are we talking about anything else in this episode? Because I had a thought to just pop in for a storyline for next season.
Go for it.
We still haven't had, like, California is a prime location though for like music festivals. We haven't had a music festival storyline.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
I'm just saying, giving CBS giving you really good ideas.
Ooh, a music festival.
Because that's prime.
Edgewater would hate it.
I know.
I need to see it because the town would hate it.
But that's where it's like, I feel like it would be good because it'd be in the, like, it's not meant to be a tourist town. But
no.
It would come in. And like, you know, I'm sorry, but
and it could be like, it could be like one of those, Woodstock 99 or Fire, like, festival situations where they're like camping out at the festival site or they're supposed to be, and it's a big scam and everybody's miserable. Oh man, like a Woodstock 99 situation in Edgewater would be nuts. Did you have you watched that documentary about Woodstock 99?
I don't think so.
Oh my god, it's on Netflix. It is nuts.
Oh.
Like in 99, I was in fifth grade, so I was just a little too young to really know it was even going on. But like it's on Netflix, and I watched it, and I'm like, I don't even understand how they thought this was a good idea. And they show like behind the scenes, and it was obviously a disconnect between the people who were in charge of the festival versus teens in that era and like the music that was popular, because it back then the music that was popular was like angry rock music. It was like Limp Bizkit and like, you know, like not not chill vibes like the original Woodstock. Yeah, and then there was like a little bit of greed that got thrown in there too. Just like, oh, it was a mess. It was a mess. Anyway, that happening in Edgewater, oh man, because if you watch that documentary, it was crazy. Like by the end of it, people started fires. There was like raiding and like looting, and people were tearing down like the sound tower and the stage and
That's
the
what I was
walls.
saying.
Yeah, it was nuts. That would be a really interesting episode, actually.
Because I feel
But
like
also the jokes, because Vince would hate it the most.
And that's what I need. I need it. I need Vince being a sourpuss about the whole thing.
Karen would be the one that would talk about how, like, she would be the one that would hope it would be Woodstock vibes, like original Woodstock vibes. That'd be her. She'd the whole time she'd be glass half full about it. Meanwhile, Vince is being his curmudgeon-y self. There we go. There you go, Fire Country Writers. We've handed you an episode for next season. Like, two, actually, because of the bottle episode about Luke.
We're just given. So, I mean, do we want to talk about any other like potential story? I mean, because I know I still think we're gonna have a whole wish list episode, though,
we're
right?
Gonna do a wish list episode for sure. Yeah. That'll be after the strike ends at some point.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's also a good way to recap the previous season as well. Because. You know, gives us a reason to talk about where we left off. Anyway, that's definitely coming though.
I mean, I still just thinking of like what if storylines for next season. I still would like to have like another bottle episode. If just throwing a bottle episode idea, like I would like to see Kara at the hospital. We've seen her several times now. I want to see her in her zone
element
at the hospital.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be a good one. I think that would be a really good one.
Yeah.
It could be kind of like the Chicago Fire episode they did this year with Sylvie and Violet, like at the hospital. They were like kind of stuck in the hospital. It could be like that.
Yeah.
That would be
or
good.
It's just like, or for something, have her come out, like have a big, if there's another, like, I hate to say train derailment or something, or like a little plane crash, like do a triage kind of center, like have her come out with like some doctors. I don't know. I want to see Kara more in that element really badly.
Yeah, I think we need to, because they've teased it enough and we haven't really seen it except for that one episode with the fair where she was in the triage with Sharon. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I just think I'm so excited that CBS is excited about the show in general. Like, I'm mad at all the networks right now because of the strike. But also, the way CBS talks about Fire Country gives me hope for it, that like we're going to get a lot of it. And not only are we going to get a lot of it, but they're going to expand the world and really like, you know, delve into it. And I think that's going to be fun. So we got a bright future ahead for our show. And I'm so pumped.
I also have another. So I'm just going to keep going off of my tangent because they keep popping in my head.
Okay, well, don't give them all away, though, because we want to. We want to do the wish list episode at some point.
But it's still, like, one last one. One last one. Because it's not, I don't think it's going to, I still think of a really funny episode, though, because we don't always get funny, is, you know, like, Vince and Sharon trying to go on vacation, and, like, they keep trying to get out the door, but little things just keep popping up. I don't know how that would fit in an episode, but I really want it because I think it would be really entertaining. Sorry.
It would have to be all like one day.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't be able to do what they normally do, which like spread out the plot over a week. It would have to be like 24 hours of them just trying to go on vacation.
Yeah. So sorry. It's just like once you get like you start like that's the problem for me. It's like I start thinking about it and like all these ideas start popping into my head. So
well, write them down and save them for later.
I know. But no, like you said, it's really refreshing to see a network care about a show, because that's still not the norm, I would say, in a lot of cases.
Okay, but let's also put this in the context of Fire Country has really great numbers.
That too.
Networks are going to care about shows with great numbers.
That too.
And I think that where networks lack care is for shows on the bubble. But it is, though, being a fan of television, it's refreshing to watch a show that you know the network is excited about, as opposed to watching a show and being worried about if you're going to get more of it.
No, that's accurate.
Ever again.
That's accurate.
Yeah. Like, it's much more fun watching a show that has a big audience than watching a show that has a tiny audience and constantly worrying if they're going to cancel it. You know?
Yeah.
Also, since we're talking about these shows being canceled and disappearing off of streamers, if you can get physical media of things, guys, buy physical media. Like, I never have to worry about Friends being on a streaming service because I have all 10 seasons on DVD.
And even for me, where I'm rewatching Smallville on Hulu, if for some reason Hulu decided to take it off, I have the entire box set of Smallville.
Same, me too.
So yeah.
I also have The West Wing. Don't have to worry about that.
Have that too.
I have all 5 seasons of The Nanny.
I have all of Gilmore Girls.
I have Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
So, physical media. It rocks. I also have all of Timeless. I love that show. That and Bridgerton. I'm in another Bridgerton phase right now. Oh, okay. So let's do this now that we're at the end. And we should probably do our last call. Let Maya get back to work.
I know.
But let's talk about what's brought us joy. What about you, Kim?
I would say just things off the top of my head. Supporting your local business. I just started recently getting my nails done by a local nail person. And I just love doing that. And it's like my nails have never been better because I actually almost thought I broke one yesterday. But because it's like good, like builder gel, whatever kind of free nails, I did not break a nail. And I'm still so happy about that. So that's why I'm very happy about it. And I got new nails yesterday. So I was very happy about that. And, you know, I'm trying to think what else. What else? What else? What else? I'm trying to think. Because I know there's more. I mean, energy, you know, I started recently watching a show on Netflix. It's from me a few years ago, and I think it made people mad because Netflix ended up canceling it. But it's been bringing me joy of, like, it's called Dark. And so I don't know if you've heard about it before.
I've heard of it. Yeah,
and
I've heard
it's
of it.
Time travel at the most insane levels, and it's a German show, and so I've been listening to it with the English audio and subtitles, and it still hurts my head trying to wrap my head around the plot lines. But it's really refreshing to find a show that kind of makes you think, because it's like, I mean, you know me, we love the kind of same formula from a lot of these shows, and I mean, I'll still watch them day in and day out, but it's really refreshing though to have a show kind of make you think a little bit harder, hurt your head asking about how could this work if that didn't work, and just all of that. So just once again, always going to be appreciative and very happy that a storyline isn't just a same old cookie cutter storyline. So,
Agreed.
What about you?
Yeah. Me. Well, today I saw Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. That was really good. If you're an Indiana Jones fan, you will definitely enjoy it. It's a very fitting last movie for Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. It was really well done. I liked it a lot. But other than that, I've been reading more. Like, I'm ahead on my Goodreads goal. I went from 9 books behind to 2 books ahead. Hey. In like the span of a week and a half.
Nice. Nice.
But I recently read a series by Cindy Madson. C-I-N-D-I is how you spell her first name. M-A-D-S-E-N is her last name. And I think it's called the Getting Hitched series.
Ooh.
Oh gosh, Siri's talking to me again.
We're good. I still Siri, don't hear anything coming through.
I didn't ask you.
Yeah.
What's going on with her right now? She just like popped up with all this information on Cindy Madson. Anyway, I think it's called the Getting Hitched series. And it's set in a small southern town. And it's this group of friends that have been friends since high school. And it's just really comforting.
Oh, love that.
And also very steamy.
Okay.
Which is good too. So I liked those. And then I read Tessa Bailey's two newest ones, The Secretly Yours and Unfortunately Yours.
Okay.
Those were good. Unfortunately Yours was definitely the superior of the two. Man, yeah. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I've been trying to
and
use my kin.
I have one other one too, which
oh.
Yeah. So one last little brief one. You don't need nobody else needs to go see it, the new Flash movie. It's not great, but I went to go see it, needed to see something, whatever. I won't say anything. But like I said, not worth your time. What did bring me joy though, if I don't think I've ever mentioned it, my favorite Batman is George Clooney's Batman. And spoiler, there was an appearance of him at the very, very end. And that brought me immense joy because I was not expecting it in any way, shape, or form. And it blew my mind because I never thought I would see him on screen again in a Batman kind of movie, and I'm very happy about it. So
was it a post credit?
No,
I feel like no.
No,
okay.
No.
I thought I read that it was okay.
No,
well, I did. I look. One of my favorite Batman films is Batman and Robin, and it's just because it's pure camp. It's like
exactly.
All camp, and I love it so
exactly.
Much. I unapologetically have loved that movie since I was a kid. I don't care that other people hate it.
Correct.
I will watch Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy over and over and over again. The only thing I don't like about that movie is Alicia Silverstone's take on Batgirl. And that's not her fault so much as it is the writing. But otherwise, I enjoy that movie a lot. Anyway, I'm with you on that though.
Yeah.
I thought George Clooney was a good Batman.
Yeah, so just needed to add that. You finish out. I just like the thing. Once again, little things pop into my head. I need to get it out. So thank you for letting me interrupt you, but I am done. So
no, you're
please continue,
fine.
Logan.
The last thing I'll say is that I did rewatch season one of Bridgerton last night, and that was really fun.
Yay.
I miss that show so much. I need season three like now.
Oh, only have to wait till December.
Why? Give it to me now.
Ask Netflix. I don't know why.
Stupid Netflix. Just give me Colin and Penelope. That's all I want. I just want Colin and Penelope. The pictures look so good.
There have been very good pictures.
Oh my gosh. I'm
very happy about
it. Yes. As soon as I saw the pictures, it was like, oh, well, now I need this. So great. Because I was like, totally patient for it, not really thinking about it at all. And then they dropped those pictures at Tudum in Brazil, and I was like, now I need this. Now I'm gonna be impatient. Dang it. but that's about I think that's about it for me. I've been Indiana Jones reading, and then Bridgerton.
Nice.
That's what I have going on right now. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to use my Kindle Unlimited more, too, because I just recently discovered that you can, with Kindle Unlimited, you can use the audiobook narration for free.
Very nice.
That's so I can read in my house, and then on my drive to work, I can listen.
Very nice.
I know. And then when I'm working, sometimes I can sneak some headphones in and listen as well. So that's been good. Oh, okay. Can I complain about a book for a little bit?
Yeah.
I know this is what brings you joy, but
how is, but I will counter that, is how is it not joyful to express something that irritated you? Because it's better to not keep it in. So.
Well, okay, so, and I think this is more of a general gripe about Kindle Unlimited, too, because I think it wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for Kindle Unlimited. Kindle Unlimited pays authors, like, by pages read. And so I've noticed a trend where the books are getting longer and longer and longer and longer and longer, because I'm assuming because authors want to get paid more, which is understandable. But when it drags out the plot, it's just not fun to read. That's I recently read this book that was supposed to be like a modern contemporary retelling of Phantom of the Opera, gender swapped. And the premise sounded so fun. But I was 40% of the way of the way through the book before the actual plot started.
I'm sorry.
Like, I was at a 40% mark when the plot and the premise finally started. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And I ended up sort of skimming the last several chapters because I was just like done. When I got to like the 80% mark, I was like, I can't read any more of this. Yeah, I get it. I just can't. Fair. It was so long. I understand, like, some romances need to be long. Like there's enough story there that like it makes sense, but not every romance needs to be really long. It's okay if your romance is not super long, as long as the story makes sense and it works for your pacing. Because when you drag it out, it's not fun to read. That's just my thought of the day on really, really, really long books.
That's fair. I get it.
Yeah. And I had gotten so far into that book, I didn't want to like DNF it, you know? Because I was like, I was at the 76% mark when I started to get bored with it. And I was like, this is just a matter of principle at this point. I have to finish it, even though I could stop reading right now and not miss it. Yeah. Anyway. That was a bit of a bummer because I was really excited about that book. I read the summary and I was like, ooh, this sounds like it's going to be good. Then it was mid. Oh, well. But yeah.
Don't that's never fun when that happens. But you know what? Like I said, how is it not joyful to get something off your chest like that?
That's true. That's true. And I don't really talk about books to a lot of people. So I don't have a lot of avenues for that. A lot of outlets.
And that's what this is for. You go.
So, that's my outlet. If you guys have any thoughts on like spinoffs you'd like to see, go ahead and you can email those to us or like reply to any tweet, send us DMs on Twitter or Instagram, whatever. Anywhere you want to get in touch with us, you can, and send us what you'd like to see on a Fire Country spinoff. Also, personal request, I don't know what the Fire Country fanfic looks like because I haven't really looked into it, but if somebody who writes Fire Country fanfic could write me that Small Business Association in Edgewater idea as a fanfic, please. I would love it.
I would honestly, I'd pay money for it.
I would too. I want somebody to create characters in this small town that work for the Small Business Association. And let me just read about their hijinks in a Stars Hollow fashion. I would love it.
100%.
Make it happen. Make it happen. Anyway, any final thoughts, Kim?
No, it's just, you know, I really hope, crossing my fingers and just hoping that we get a good deal for the writers during hopefully an end to this writer's strike, and same thing with the actors. It's, you know, I want a good and fair deal for everybody around.
Well, the good thing is The actor's extension is through July 12th, which means that whatever happens then, the AMPTP will have an opening to go back to the negotiating table with the writers at that point, because they won't be negotiating with any other guild. So that gives us a good month and a half for them to get something resolved in order for us to potentially have something on television by the end of the year. So we have time still before we're just completely into 2024.
I don't want to think about that.
So, I mean, there's still hope. There's still hope. We'll check back in after July 12th and see how much hope remains at that point. But the most important thing is that everybody gets what they want and that we take care of AI. And just throw it out the window, as far as I'm concerned. Throw it out the window, set it on fire, drown it in a river.
Livable wages, fair credit for work, and no AI.
I don't think it's necessary. I understand that, like, I think the Directors Guild was trying to say that they do use it to, like, assist them. But I'm like, I don't even care that you use it. I don't care. We don't need it. Let's just throw it away.
Correct. We've all seen how this movie ends. We don't need to bring it out.
No, yeah, they're creating Skynet right now. So let's just stop.
Let's put an end to that, because
and reconsider our actions here and just not do it.
We already know the plot of the movie. We don't need to bring it to life again.
That's right. We're not trying to be in the Terminator films, okay? Correct. We don't want that. That's not what we want. Anyway, so that is what we had to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you guys feel free to reach out to us and tell us your ideas for spinoffs. Mm-hmm. Or if you have, like, thoughts or concerns about the writer strike, we'd love to hear those too, however you're feeling about things. You know, shoot us an email, let us know. If you know of good fanfics to read too, because I haven't really checked those out yet. You can send those to us as well. If there's, I don't know, I haven't checked, but someday if we have enough of it, we could do a fanfic episode. I think that would be fun. But I don't even know what fanfic for Fire Country looks like right now. So.
No.
So that's not in the cards yet, but if you guys know of any good ones, send them to us. We'd love to read them.
Yes, please.
But for now, Maya's kicking us out. It's time for us to go. She's done with us. They've got a small business association meeting that they need to use the bar for, okay?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's they're more important than our business, so we should probably go. So we're gonna go, but we will talk to you guys next time. Probably won't have any news unless it's like strike news.
Like I said, I'm gonna hope, as per usual with some of our other podcast episodes, is, you know, we talk about it, opposite happens, so maybe they come through with a deal and you never know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it'll be one of those cases where we jinx ourselves.
I hope so.
but yeah, and then we haven't figured out what next episode is going to be about yet, but once we know, we will let you guys know. So hope you guys have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye, Logan.
Bye, Kim. Bye, Kim.